Wow, good morning to you. The birds are chirping. What's happening, people? Welcome to another episode of First World Problems. Today, another rainy morning, April showers, ha! This is one of the most intense rainy situations, as it's 420. Happy 420 to all my weed smokers out there. And if you're in the same region as I am, 420 on a rainy day with no electricity? What? That's like a triple whammy. Sorry for anybody who wake and bake before noticing they didn't have electricity. God, this gotta suck. You get high, you can't microwave anything. You can't toast anything. You can't just cook anything from scratch. And you didn't know it and you're high already? Oh, God, that's gotta be murder. And the thing is, you know, when you're high, your attention span is short, so you keep forgetting. I just know there's just potheads that are just stuck at the microwave, can't figure out what the fuck is going on. Refrigerator, the food is going bad because they just keep opening it, setting everything up. Hopefully, the best outcome would be that there's some weed heads who don't have anything in the fridge. Then they're driving around the town and it's pouring down rain, realizing that there's no electricity. But they won't give up. They won't give up. No, they won't until they get the job done. It'll be like Harold and Kumar go to White Castle. I had an experience like that, I think it was about 3 years ago. Me and my good friend Tom Cassidy were moving into an apartment in Harlem. And we did it the day after Hurricane Sandy. Hurricane Sandy happened on the 31st of October, if I'm not mistaken. And this was either November 1st or the 2nd. Couldn't really get in touch with the landlord, but we had already rented the truck. Items were already packed, locked and loaded, and ready to go. And as far as we knew, the lease was up here in the house that good old Tom was staying in Philadelphia. So he had to go. So we went up there. And anyone who knows anything about New York and Hurricane Sandy, the Upper West Side and Harlem were not touched. No harm done. And we were way up there, 150th from Broadway. So move into a beautiful apartment that night. Everything went smoothly. And his roommates were some hot chicks, and they were passing around blunts. Now, I don't smoke because of the paranoia, but when a hot chick passes you a blunt, you smoke that shit. See, that's what I'm talking about. White women are dangerous, all right? Anyone who heard me on the Artie Critter podcast, where some people were upset about my statements, which I don't understand that. I gave a valid explanation for why I'm scared of white women and why I'm against interracial marriage. I'm not going to go into it again here, but I gave a valid explanation for it. It's not like I'm running around vandalizing interracial weddings. You know, it's just I don't agree with it. But the people with me responded on Twitter with anger. But I didn't give my Twitter handle until the end of the show. So that means they would have had to listen to the entire podcast and then go, all right, now back to this statement that I heard that I didn't like earlier in the podcast. You know, it's not like they heard me say that and then tweeted out of anger and instant impulse and didn't hear my backup statements, because you had to hear the whole podcast to get my Twitter handle. So I don't know. It's just funny about how social media works. So we're in this apartment in Harlem. Hot chicks are passing out blunts. We smoke them. We are high out of our mind. We go get a little bit of Chinese food. And now we have to return this U-Haul. And we just forgot simple fact that there's no gas on the island. There's no gas. So now we drove into the city. We're on E, and we're trying to fill this van up. And we're driving around from gas station to gas station, but they're all taped off with a bunch of heavy police activity at every corner. And we're thinking, oh my God, they know we've been around here doing drugs. They're going to take us to jail because we're high, we're paranoid, and we can't register the fact that it's bigger than us. It's not about us. It's about the fact that there's no gas on the island, and they just don't want people to try to ransack what do you call it, gas stations for what they're doing. Look, even as I am discussing this, my lady is rummaging through the fridge, just completely forgetting the fact that there's no power. You were about to try and cook something, weren't you?
No, I was saying, oh my God, our food is going to go bad.
Well, hopefully they should have it fixed sooner than later, you know? And so I was just telling these people it's 4:20, so this pothead's running around going crazy today. you know, if any of them who woke up and got high before looking at a clock or anything and didn't realize there was no power, they're going to be running around town like nuts. But I am coming off of just a phenomenal weekend. A phenomenal week in general, but a phenomenal weekend as far as me being who I am and doing what I do, people. What's that you say? What do you do, Dave? I'm confused. What do you do? I listen to your podcast, but I have no idea what you do. Well, I'm a comic. I'm a bike enthusiast who belongs to a motorcycle club, Chrome Shell Posse, out of Philadelphia. I'm a father. I'm a dynamite lover. That's why this woman's traipsing around here in just a bathrobe. That's why I made sure I was going to come in here and do the podcast first thing in the morning, because this is the type of situation where babies get born. Ugh, God. I can't afford any more kids, people. I'm sitting here, you know, everyone, when you see like a bunch of baby booms, you got to look back at what happened during that time. Like, remember when New York had the blackout a couple years ago, or the brownout, where everyone had to walk back to Brooklyn and all that stuff, all the trains and everything were running, and everyone went home, and you know, women had to take their heels off, and when they got home, their boyfriend was there to wash their feet, and then let's light a candle, and you get pregnant, next thing you know, bam! All of these babies surfacing around, what was that, July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March. March! Look around New York. There's a bunch of babies in the past that are like 5 years old with a March birthday. They are a result of that blackout. But what was I saying here? This weekend... Phenomenal weekend. I had a lot of work to do. So, you know, I was in my hometown, Philadelphia, from about Wednesday on. And we were getting ready. My motorcycle club, we had our 12th annual trophy party and comedy show with an after party, which was absolutely amazing. I don't think you guys understand how difficult it is to pull off an event that includes anywhere between 800 to 900 bikers. You know, issues like reserve tables, guys buying tickets late. We sold out at capacity. No one was able to pay cash to get in at the door. If you didn't have a ticket, you needed to stand outside. This was an all-you-could-eat buffet, open bar, doors open at 8:30, and they didn't close until 2:30. And you know what, people? We never ran out of food or liquor, and we gave that away for just $20, people. What? $20 all you can eat, all you can drink for 6 hours, unheard of. Those are cruise ship numbers. Cruise ship numbers, and you do the math on a cruise. You're spending way more than $20 a day. But in their defense, they do have swimming pools, nice weather, and usually subpar women in bikinis. I don't know, better, you know, better look. We had a bunch of women in vests, a lot of bikers walking around there, but there were some civilians. A lot of civilians that showed up this year. I don't, the word is getting out. I mean, I promoted on my podcast. I have some people that come out. I want to give a huge shout out to Cameron Avant, who it was his second time, him and his lady coming out. And the only reason why he hasn't been out more was because he was away in Texas making money, doing big things like breaking the color barriers in Texas. Whoa. Black people going to Texas. Things have changed since the 80s. Remember, Eddie Murphy had a whole joke about that. Don't go to Texas. They fuck you up. But a lot of civilian women in there, man. A lot of civilian women. Ooh. It's a good look. So if you missed out on that, hey, I'm sorry if you were one of those people that were at the door sending text messages or calling going, hey, man, I'm outside and telling me I can't get in. We advertised this thing for 2.5 months, people. 2.5 months. And you waited until the day of to come and get your tickets. Can't work out that way. Next time you see me post that flyer, you inbox me. Inbox me now. Be there. Be there. Be there. Maybe that's the problem with some of you people. We didn't yell at you like a black radio station. Black radio stations know how to get their point across. It's Roxy and then Onyx. Roxy and then Onyx on Saturday night. If you have a birthday, call me. Call me. I like how that guy just gives out his personal cell phone number on the air. I mean... I don't know. Maybe black people, we don't play games like that. We'll just call and fuck around with the guy. I kind of want to call and fuck around with the guy. But it'd be just my luck where I'm calling and fuck around and I got all of this stuff set up to record it. You know, thinking about to make like a nice little viral internet clip. And yeah, everyone's going to love it. This idiot won't answer the phone. Oh, the phone's disconnected, out of minutes, or some crazy shit like that. Like, I would have this whole elaborate thing set up. And they don't care. They've already moved on. But Thursday, we're running around getting liquor for this event. Whew! This alcohol tab looked like bottle service at a nightclub, people. I'm just going down to, you know, Depot and picking up everything that we needed. And this was to add on to the stock. But I mean, this was one of those alcohol tabs that you take a look at in the someone photographs it and post it on Facebook to be like, yeah, man, we balled out. We shut that bitch down. If we were selling drinks, huh, man. But we're a good club, man. We give to the community. We're taking applications also. If you know how to ride, if you have a bike. I know my president preaches a lot of that. Hey, man, we take social club members and all that. Listen. Just get you, if you got a bike and you want to be down with some of the fastest riders in the city, fastest riders in the Northeast, if you ask me. Because I've been around New York, Baltimore, D.C., I'm not really seeing a lot of road racers that are really doing it on the level that we're doing it here in Philadelphia. I see a lot of dirt bikes, hey, wheelies, four-wheelers, all that kind of stuff riding around, tearing the streets up. And I see a lot of people on these booses, all tricked out, shined up, armor all down real nice, and you know, fancy little light kit on it, hydraulics, and a big old fat 360 tire kit. You know, whatever it is you're into. But, I know what you're all about. I don't even have to see your bike roll. I can just watch you. Look at you. If you're on your bike wearing shorts and gym tennis shoes, a button-up polo pullover or something like that, or a fancy little t-shirt, little goggles, I know you're not really ready to go. You just want to be seen. And there's nothing wrong with that. Trust me. That's a way better life. If I rode like that, I wouldn't have gone through so many bikes in my lifetime. Just crashing and fixing and crashing and breaking and tearing stuff up, because we ride hard. We road race, you know. It's one thing to drag and be the fastest dude in a straight line, and it's one thing to have a nice shiny bike to pull up on a nice bar strip late on a Saturday night and just turn heads, have everyone look at you and all of your grandeur, whatever you call it. But we road race. I didn't know what I was getting myself into when I first started riding. I just happened to link up with some people that I knew that rode motorcycles, because the girl that I originally bought a motorcycle to win her back over, she was not interested. That's right. Oh, Dave wasn't always a smooth, cavalier person that you know him as today. He's taken some losses in his life. Went out there and bought a motorcycle. Like, this will get him back. Nope. So now I'm stuck with this bike that I had to learn how to ride. And I called up some friends of mine who were riders. And they took me out. They took me out on 95 for a little run on a Saturday afternoon. And they proceeded to do some things with these bikes and traffic that I didn't even know were possible. You know? I'm talking about turning the bike completely sideways, dipping in between cars, dipping in traffic, where if traffic is only moving at about 55, 60, for you to be able to maneuver in traffic, thick traffic, at about a buck 20, a buck 30, and what we like to call cutting through traffic like a hot knife through a butter roll, or a hot knife through butter, one of them. But you get what I'm saying. We don't part traffic. We don't just part it like the Red Sea. We cut through it like butter. It's a beautiful thing. A lot of people hate it when you see those cars, when you see those bikes zipping up behind you. Because you look up in your rear view and you go, huh! And that's about all you get to do. You go, huh! But by the time you finish, huh! They're gone. Phew! I'm through you, and you're looking at my taillight as I'm weaving through more cars, and you're going, someone's going to get hurt. And you're right, someone is going to get hurt. But that's a chance that I take, people, so that I can come home and be the dynamic man that I am, where after I get all my aggression out on the road, I can sit here on the couch and deal with the fact that, you know, my children are jumping up and down and running around. My Rugrat is here today because school has no power. I turned around and sent them right back home with a bowl of cereal and a banana. They said, hey, there's nothing we can do. You deal with it today. But we still want to get paid for today. What kind of racket is that the daycare runs? What kind of racket is that? We're not going to do our job today, but you still need to pay us. Hey, we didn't get paid for that one day that we weren't open and you had to go find someone else to watch your kid. I mean, thank God, you know, we have the type of careers that we have where, you know, if she's taking a day off, all right, we're here for her. But geez, for the average working schmo, who... You dropped your kid off, you're already halfway to work, and they're calling you, hey, we're not going to be able to do our job today. Can you come back and collect your kid and make sure you pay your bill for today? I realize that I've made you late for your first day of the week at work, and you're probably already in terrible standings with your job, but hey, if there's any way that you can make sure that we get paid for the inconvenience that we put you through today, I mean, for anything, these guys close at the drop of a hat, an inch and a half of snow on the ground. Yeah, we're not going to be able to do our job today. Why not? Your job is to stay inside with the children and watch them. You don't have to go out anywhere. What, are you running to the store for milk and eggs? Huh? I never understood that either. Everyone always runs to the store for milk and eggs when it snows. Was that just me? So I always get sent to the store when it snows. Shovel the walk. Shovel the steps off. And then go to the store and get mommy milk, eggs, bread, and soft pack Newport 100s. Oh, the good old days. Back in the 90s where kids could buy cigarettes for their parents with no questions asked. What? Those were the good old days. You want to smoke? I don't care. Go ahead and smoke. What? Surgeon General, 17. Come on. He's 9. Give him the cigarettes. Give him the cigarettes. I don't care whether they're for him or not. But I think they knew they were for our parents. Yeah, I think they knew. They would see us come in the store with our parents, and then they knew in shitty weather when we showed up by ourselves asking for cigarettes. We had money. And I mean, I think that's also the dead giveaway. If you're a kid, if you're 9 years old and you're handing over a $10 bill, clearly that's not your $10 bill. Kids don't have anything bigger than a 5. Even a 5 was rare and far and few between. Like, if I got a 5 in my birthday card, my mom took it. She put it in a bank account or something like that. Or, you know, she would give me ones and take the 5. But yeah, at that age, you don't need anything bigger than a 5. So if a kid's coming in with a 10 or a 20, it's not his money. It's for someone else. And he's asking for cigarettes. I used to think that was amazing. And my mom used to always get on me, make sure you count your change. Don't let them cheat you. And I mean, I used to count my change, but I used to think, geez, like, who the fuck is going to cheat a kid? You know? It never happened to me. It never happened. I don't know whether they were just paranoid about it, but I knew how to count, so I always counted the change. But as many times as I went to the store for my mom, never did anyone just blatantly shorten me change because I didn't know how to count. That's some devious shit right there, man. Like, we watch those movies, those Arabian movies or anything where they have like the trade market and they're trading based on weight. And the weight, you know, sometimes they find, what was that, Karate Kid 2. Ah, geez, what an old reference, Dave. You got anything, any more relevant you want to pull out, huh? Maybe something from the Ten Commandments, huh? Maybe something from the original Cape Fear. They had that. White Heat. Why don't you make a reference to White Heat, you old son of a bitch? All right. But basically, there's a scene in the Karate Kid where the villain, the young villain, is working his trade market, and Daniel finds out that the weights are hollow, and he broke the weight in half. So people were bringing in all this stuff trying to get money, and you know they weren't getting enough anymore, and they just found out they were cheating them. And that's low down and dirty also. That's fucked up, you know, to cheat anybody that way in business. But to watch a little kid come into your store and hand you a 20, and instead of giving him $13 change back, you give him like 9 ones and go, hey, yeah, I just wanted to rip off this little kid for $4. Wow. Do people out there exist like that? Because these are the people that my mom always scared me were going to be out there lurking. Lurking in the shadows, just waiting to get you. Just waiting to get you. That was always one of my biggest fears, that someone was going to rob me for some small amount of money. And I always felt like I was going to end up in a knockdown, drag out fight to the death in an alley somewhere. Like getting tossed through wooden crates, that kind of shit. The shit that you saw in games like Pit Fighter. Like, I always felt like I was going to, my life was going to end like Batman's parents. Just walking in an alley after the opera totally caught me off guard. Or, you know, just a situation where, because all of the movies whether they were cartoons or movies or even TV shows, they always depicted that alley scene. It was always a well-dressed woman or man. This just ridiculous walking through an alley. Walking around late at night. Being in the house before the streetlights get on. What the fuck is wrong with you? Why don't you know any better than that? I love the original Ninja Turtles movie, where they were going to give April a nice raping next to that news van. That was going down. That was going down. Do you realize that? When they showed up, or did she come in and found them robbing her van, which that's just sloppy work by the foot soldiers. All throughout the opening credits, you guys are clearing out box trucks without being seen. You guys are ripping off retail stores, everything, just snatching anything that's not tied down, and no one can see you. And now you're telling me when it comes to a little news van, you can't empty out the news van before this little white woman walks up on you? Well, geez, that's got to be a hell of a time, too, to work in that kind of work. Like, if I was delivering box trucks during the time that the foot was running around New York, listen to me, as if this really happened. As if there was really a time when the foot was running around New York. But you get what I'm saying. From what they depicted in that movie, I would have just reported everything stolen by the foot. Hey, they got me. You know, there's these ninja guys running around clearing out box trucks in minutes. What do you want me to do? I'm sorry, I can't. I've tried to bring your shipment of VCRs in and they're gone. Which, what the fuck were the foot soldiers doing with all those VCRs and Walkmen? Like, they were stealing a lot of electronics, but it just seemed pointless for what their mission was, you know? But now that I think about it, what the fuck was their mission? Ninja Turtles won the fucking... They got the foot soldiers, they're stealing shit. They're recruiting kids. The kids are coming back to the clubhouse where they can play video games and skateboard and smoke cigarettes. I don't know what the hell they were trying to do. I don't know what those kids were doing. What do you want?
My tablet. I spelled my name.
You spelled your name?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
On my tablet, Princess Game.
Do me a favor. Okay. Give me a couple minutes to finish this up. Go tell mommy put some vitamin E on your lips. Oh. Go put some on there, alright? That is Rugrat number 2, ladies and gentlemen. Home for the day because school has no power. And I'm paying for her to be here. But I digress. I'm trying to figure out the Ninja Turtles. I don't know what they wanted. I don't know what these guys' purpose was. The foot soldiers, they're stealing electronics. They're recruiting people. They went, I know, like, one of them, they were trying to rape April, and April found out who they were. She said something about them on TV. They attacked her in the subway, which that was a hilarious scene where she found Raphael's side from the first attack. And the second one, she pulls it out as if they're going to go, oh, you have a sigh. Like, she pulled that thing out, they knocked it out of her hands, and her immediate result was to just start swinging her purse, and they knocked the fuck out of that girl. They cold cocked the shit out of that girl. We put that in a movie, too, for kids. For kids in the 90s, we put a movie out where they cold cocked the shit out of April. In front of all of us children, and we were just like, yep, that's normal. And the thing about about it that makes it the best is, like, Raphael stopped the rape. He waited until she was out cold on the subway platform before he intervened the second time around. When he came out with his... And once he beat those guys down, he picked her up and carried her into the sewer. Now, I've watched a lot of World Star Hip Hop, and I see people get knocked out. And their limbs stiffen up. How awesome would that be if that would have happened? In that movie where instead of her just going to sleep, her arms stiffen and she's in a seizure state. See, and that was the difference. Because I swear, I never saw anyone get knocked out cold until college. So we're talking 2001. University of Pittsburgh in front of the original. Right there on 5th Ave. Or was it Forbes? Whatever. Oakland, Midtown, Pittsburgh. Right there in front of the original. I sat there in my friend's car and watched the fight. And as this guy got knocked out and he got put to sleep, when he landed on the curb in between those two cars and his arms locked up and he began to shake, and we were all like, whoa, wait a minute, that's not how it happens in the movies. Normally they just lay there. They just lay there and go to sleep. What is this shaking that he's doing? Welcome to Pittsburgh, the original. You guys got to try that place too. It's the only place where you can have a cheesesteak where that meat was flipped on the grill using an old Chuck Taylor sneaker. Low tops. But, alright, I got lost in this Ninja Turtle tangent. That is bugging me. I'm going to have to watch that movie today to find out what the hell were they trying to do. Because I can't figure it out. Raphael saved the girl. He took her to the house. And the foot soldier followed her back to the house. Followed him back to the house and saw where they lived. And they, you know, nursed April back to health, which is hilarious. Like, they were, one minute they were upset that he brought her here. Instead of kicking her out while she was asleep, the minute that she wakes up, the rat gives her the lowdown. I mean, the rat didn't even hesitate. The rat said, if you will let me explain, Miss O'Neill, for 15 years now. Like, she didn't explain to her where she was or anything. That motherfucker started from the beginning. Sang like a canary. You want to talk about first 48? Yeah, first 48 seconds. She wasn't even awake a full minute. Offer her something to drink. She might be hungry. Now, let's tell our life story of why we're sitting here in this sewer with electricity and couch and access to TV and all of the pizza you could ever imagine. Those kids had it. They had a lot. They had a good situation going on down there. They live better. Those turtles live better than most poor people. They had everything. Everything. I'm a little bit jealous. Yeah, it may have been wet down there. It was wet in the basement that I lived in for a while, too. A little bit of pipe leakage down there. We dealt with it. It was fine. But yeah, they came back. The foot soldiers, they came back. They took the rat. What the fuck kind of move is that? What the fuck kind of move is that? They took the rat. Who does that? Like, the turtles went to go walk April home. And they came back and their rat was missing. But who steals somebody's rat, dude? They stole the rat. So it's like they dropped everything as far as whatever their mission was, and they took the rat. That makes no sense to me. That makes no sense. So these guys spent the rest of the movie trying to get their rat back. The foot would, you know, they would, I guess they were trying to get a redemption on Raphael because they put him to sleep for a while too. We talked about this a while ago on the podcast. As I'm going through this, I realize this is just a ramble that I do. Holy shit. This is going to be the old man that I am. Rambling about shit like the Ninja Turtles talking about plots of movies that people haven't seen in decades, and that this is the type of conversation that's going to land me in a home right here. This is it. When I start talking about, yeah, they took his rat, man. They fucking took his rat. And then they punch Raphael to sleep. They punch him to sleep. They're gonna be like, okay, Dad has clearly lost his mind. It's time to put him in a home. All I can say is, if I do end up in a home, just put a microphone in front of me. Record my ramblings and post them on the internet. That'd be a dope show. Fuck, I wish I'd have thought to do that shit when my dad was still alive. I'd have sat there and rambled and recorded that shit. Because he used to say some off-the-wall stuff, man. Off the wall. My dad used to talk to me about my mom as if it wasn't my mom. Talking about how much fun he used to have back in the day with Tony. Oh, God, Dad, please stop before you go too far. All right. What else happened this weekend? I did a 15th birthday party. Private event in someone's living room. But a very, very nice, immaculate house, like in a very upscale neighborhood. It was a mansion, if you will. A mansion. Black people who have made it, and instead of going out to a nightclub or anything, hey, you know what? Let's go and find some entertainment and bring it here. That's how you know you made it, people. That's royalty. I'm going to do this shit in my living room because my living room seats more comfortably than the club. What am I telling you? I just did the same shit here, I guess. I just had a magician in my house for my daughter's birthday party. But that's what it felt like. That's honestly what it felt like. Like, I know I don't take anything away from magicians, ventriloquists, you know, any of those guys that do this stuff for entertainment, because they're all talented on an amazing level. I could never do what they do. But there's something a little bit sad about watching, you know, a magician or a prop comic walk up to someone's house carrying, you know, cases and boxes and stuff as they're dressed. You know, it's just, I mean, it's show business. It's the best type of show business because it's your show, you control it, and it's a road show that you're taking it to different places, but holy shit. And that's how I saw myself as I walk. Like, if you ever see a magician approach a birthday party, and they're usually wearing like a sparkly little vest or a vest with lights and LEDs on it, and they got a nice button-up shirt on underneath of it, but they're carrying like a little rabbit in a cage. And I grew up, you know, in the hood, so you really only see that type of shit, you know, there. It's like some drug dealer who's putting a birthday party together for his girlfriend, but it's still in a shitty neighborhood in the row home, and you just see this guy walking in. He sticks out like a sore thumb. He's making money. He's doing what he's supposed to do, but God, he looks ridiculous. You know, he's not just coming. Like, you're supposed to see a guy come from backstage behind the curtain dressed nicely, but I don't know. This guy's just walking up someone's driveway with a rabbit in a cage. But that was me. I had to bring my own PA system. And I'm walking out. I'm walking out to my car and I'm carrying a mic stand, a bag with some speakers in it, and what do you call it? An amp for amp. And I got on like a nice dress shirt, a watch, some hard bottom shoes, you know, a nice pair of jeans. I was just like, oh God, I'm that guy. Because it was still sunny out, 7:30. Like, at least if it was like winter, at least I'd be walking to my car in the dark and you can't really get a good look at me and what I'm carrying. But no, it was seven o'clock. And you could see me clear as day. That guy's going to entertain somebody. But it was a great show overall. That's a good feeling, man, when you get a call for a private event like that. Like, it's one thing to not be on the scene, you know? Comics, we get a lot of anxiety if we're not on the scene. You're like, it's Saturday night. Everyone's going to be hanging out at the club, telling jokes. Stuff is going to be happening. I'm going to miss it. But this was a better gig. And that's what I say. It's a big test to who I am. Who am I? I'm a comic. I got that done this weekend. I'm a bike enthusiast who belongs to a motorcycle club, Chrome Shell Posse. I don't know if that's our sound or not. We got to come up with one. 13 years, you'd think we'd have one by now. I don't know. We just never been really one of those rowdy bike clubs. But every now and again, someone might yell out, Chrome Trail! And then, you know, we got to do something. So that's what I usually do in response to that little call and response. Like to let off that noise. Remember when the raptors started communicating on the second Jurassic Park? Oh, go, go. Oh. Jesus, podcast took a turn, didn't it? I'm just sitting here making noises into the microphone. Turned into the black dude from Police Academy real quick. What else is going on out there? I saw the news. Not going to dig too deep in sports because you guys know I have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about. But there are rumors that Tim Bible Thumping Tebow is supposed to be signing with our beloved Birds, Philadelphia Eagles. Chip Kelly just tearing the team apart and rebuilding it the way he wants to because he's the coach. I'm in charge. You are not in charge. Joe Clark, get the chains on the doors. All of you assemble into the locker room expeditiously. Deshaun Jackson, you smoke crack, don't you? Look, we're all upset. Why would you kick Deshaun off the team? Why would you do that? Well, maybe because Deshaun smokes crack. All right, that's a brash assumption. But what I'm saying is, he knows what's going on in that team. We don't. Now, if it turns out to be a success, then you guys are going to want to make movies about Chip Kelly and how he turned this fucking team around. But right now, you guys would be in the typical movie background crowd. Get him out of here. He doesn't know what he's doing. All right. Well, neither do you. Neither do you. What sports franchise team have you coached? What team have you ran? What, because you watched a couple analytical sports shows on ESPN? Or because you put Madden on franchise mode, which is the most nerdiest thing you could ever do? I had a roommate in college that did that shit. He would just be in his room watching Madden go. And I'd be like, what are you doing? Hey, I'm playing Madden. But like, he would come out of his room anytime I walked past the door. And he came out. And I'm like, you're not even playing the game, you know? And this is kind of me challenging him. Like, why do you come out of your room every time I walk past? That's just how he was. He was an anti-sociable guy. Guy didn't go anywhere, didn't party, didn't do anything. But if you were walking around that apartment, he wanted to come out and talk to you. And, but he put it on franchise mode. And I always wondered, man, maybe that's the difference between whites and blacks. He sees the game and wants to control salary caps and watch the game go on in the background. Where black people, we just want to, we want to score touchdowns. But, I don't know what that kid's doing right now. I might look him up. Ryan Pankiewicz was his name. Pankiewicz. What is that? Polish? Yeah. He was a Polish kid. I think he was from the Polish Hills of Pittsburgh. South side guy. Lots of potatoes and pierogies, that kid. But, yeah, I'm going to look him up. And I found out what he's doing. And I forgot my other roommate's name from that apartment. I spent a year living with two random white guys. I had no idea who they were. Which, that was good training for New York. That's all New York is. Live with random white guys. All right. There was a couple other things I wanted to cover, but I'm going to go ahead and bring this to a close because I don't remember whether what I thought I wanted to cover I did on last week's podcast or not. But April 28th, people. God, I should have did this stuff at the beginning. Who knows if you're still listening, right? April 28th, Caroline's. That's in Times Square, Broadway. Caroline's on Broadway. I will be there performing with the very lovely Chloe Hilliard. It is her breakout comedy series. So, that is a Tuesday night show, April 28th. If you go to carolines.com right now and go to the schedule, you can buy tickets for that show. And I need you to buy tickets. I need you to buy tickets. Even if you don't come, you should still buy tickets. And what you do is you enter the promo code BREAKOUT at checkout. And it drops your ticket price to $5. Come on. Dave is always coming through the door with a deal. Always coming through the door with a deal. I had a $20 all-you-can-eat, all-you-can-drink buffet comedy show and after party. 6.5 hours. What? Who does that? Most of you people don't even put in 6.5 hours at work. All right? I gave you that. I just gave you a comedy show at the Stand with my friends from Center City Comedy, where for Comedy Week, we gave you a deal, buy one, get one. Now I'm giving you a $5 comedy show in the heart of New York City, Broadway, Caroline's on Broadway, in Times Square, and it's only $5. And that's with myself, my friend Ian Fidance, and last comic standing finalist, Miss Chloe Hilliard. So, come check that out. And what else do I need to put out there? I'm going to start promoting this now. June 11th, I believe the date is. At the Bristol Comedy Works. Just outside of Philadelphia. In that Bristol-Ben Salem borderline. I will be headlining. What? Told you guys that was going to be coming. So that's June the 12th. Why don't I have this on my calendar? Sometime around then. No, it's July 10th and 11th. July 10th and 11th. I'll be headlining that weekend at the Bristol Comedy Works.
Are you talking to yourself?
Oh, boy. Now I got to explain the concept of podcasting to a little kid. All right. That is the podcast this week, ladies and gentlemen. First world problems. You want to say something to the people? Say, these are first world problems.
That's the first world problem. Delete all that shit. Delete all that shit.
Niggas wanna know how I live the Mac life. Making money, smoking mics like crack pipes. It's type simple and plain to maintain. I add a little funk to the brain. The funk, baby.
These are first world problems.